helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dream. The one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education, with your hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. This program will give parents and educators the skills and methods to effectively advocate for children today. And now, here's Rich and Michelle.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. This is Michelle Davis and I'm here with my co-host Rich Weinfeld. We have a great, exciting show today, but first let me help the listeners understand what our overall show is about. We are dedicated to exploring issues in schools that can make the difference between what we are now and what we could be as a society. Rich and I believe that with high expectations and an education system that works, all children can achieve. If you have children listening to this show, you'll learn how to partner with the school to advocate for your child in a powerful and effective way. And if you're an educator listening to the show, we'll advance your skills and knowledge to affect positive changes. And today, Rich is going to introduce our special guest in just a few minutes. But today, we are talking about the presidential election, how our nation will be voting, and the next president of the United States will shape education policy for our most precious natural resource, who are our children. There are some basic and important differences in the position in the positions that have been articulated by the two candidates. And parents and taxpayers know that this election is going to shape how our nation deals with our children. So our show is about helping you to understand the candidates' positions and adding to your reasons to vote for the best candidate to lead our world into an education system that works. Our special guest today is the leading advisor to Senator McCain, and her name is Lisa Keegan. And Rich, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about Lisa and what our call-in topic is and question is for the day.
Sure, my pleasure. We're thrilled to have Lisa Keegan with us today. As Michelle said, she's the leading educational advisor to Senator John McCain. She was the former state superintendent for education in Arizona and has held many other prominent positions in educational institutions. I want to let our listeners know that we also attempted to get a representative from Senator Obama's campaign, but unfortunately we were not successful. So Michelle and I will do our best to represent his views today as we talk with Lisa Keegan. And we're thrilled to have you on, Lisa, and welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
We'd like to start with kind of a basic philosophy question. In Senator McCain's presidency, what would the role of federal government be in education?
Well, the federal government really, as you know, has a pretty limited role except when it comes to requiring things, as in special education, which may be the best model of what can be done right with a federal role. So it's very important for Senator McCain to articulate what public education can look like, and nobody can do that like the president. And his view is that public education is all about success for every child. And so you find that wherever it exists for your child, or, you know, if it doesn't exist yet, we just have to go about the business of creating it. So he's about making choices that work for kids and for the teachers in the schools that teach them, as well as creating new options, which we know we have to do. We just simply are not where we need to be. We don't have enough viable solutions for enough kids right now in America. So we've got a lot of work out in front of us.
A little more specifically, Senator Obama has called for an increase in government spending on education, and at least thus far I've not seen Senator McCain do the same. What's wrong with increasing spending? Do you expect Senator McCain to call for increasing spending?
In the federal education, I don't see him calling for that, and I think it's important to remember that over the past 8 years, we are approaching a 50% increase overall in federal education spending. And largely that was due to the emphasis that we placed inside the No Child Left Behind Act that came in 2002. But so there's no question that there have been huge increases in federal funding for education, and many of the things that were paid for in that increase are already done. And those were things that test development and a lot of things that came early on in the cycle of No Child Left Behind. Senator McCain is saying, look, let's hold this level. Let's fully fund it at the current level. Keep it there. Don't drop these programs off. Find new ways to spend that money. But in times of, you know, economic sort of crisis that the country is in a place where we've already, over the past, the recent past, we've increased by at least 46, somewhere between 46 and 50%. He doesn't see that as the best means. He sees redirecting those funds and keeping them available, even though a lot of the work they were assigned to do has already been done in the state.
I think Senator Obama's campaign would say that the work that's been done in No Child Left Behind has identified some of the problem areas, but the funding is needed to rectify those problem areas. And the second part of my economy statement or question would be, given the state of the present economy, where local school districts are really strapped and they're cutting back budgets because they don't have the same amount of money to deal with education, How can we expect states and local municipalities to carry the load?
You know, Rich, and I think the answer has to be that states and the federal government are funded by the same person. They're funded by families in America that are struggling right now. And I think that the billions and billions of dollars, and there have been billions of dollars in increase to federal funding for education, for, as I said, for tasks that have already been completed, and now those monies can be reassigned into these things that we've identified, and that's an appropriate use, and Senator McCain absolutely believes that. But it's very important to identify what it is you want to do next, and so hopefully we can talk about that, but also to identify that the money that's available in the federal government, just as in state governments, and you know, I used to work in the state legislature and had to set those budgets, that money comes from the public, and they don't have any more money than, you know, than government does right now. It's their money that we spend, and so these are very difficult economic times.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, I'm looking at the July 8th EdWeek that came out,
uh-huh.
And I have a quotation here from you. We're talking about federal spending, and it says that it's unclear how Obama would shape the No Child Left Behind Act. It says also by contrast, and then it talks about how Senator McCain thinks the No Child Left Behind law has been adequately funded, and that was a comment from you. I guess it's not a direct quotation. And then it says it's not clear whether Senator McCain's plan is to freeze domestic spending for a year would include all federal education programs. I mean, clearly No Child Left Behind is one of them, but also the Individuals with Disabilities Education Improvement Act is another. Can you talk a little bit about that and whether and the relationship between Senator McCain's plan to freeze domestic spending for a year would include all federal education programs?
Michelle, what I can say is you know, what really what I've already said, and that really clearly articulates Senator McCain's view that we have to be very serious about any spending, current spending, proposed new spending, anything, in light of the economy the way that it is, and actually always, and where those dollars go that are most effective. What he wants to do is make sure that the dollars, for example, that we spend in Title I funding, which is for kids, is directed to kids who are poor. And remember that No Child Left Behind is just a new name for the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which has been around since 1965, came in with the Civil Rights Act, and was very much directed in the same vein to give those who did not have an opportunity a step up. Those dollars have gradually been sort of drifted away from the kids and gone into central offices and sort of large-scale centralized programs. Senator McCain would like to make sure, for example, that money that's meant for kids for tutoring is given to those kids for their tutoring immediately and not sort of used as part of a sanctioning program against schools. So the kids don't have to wait for their school to fail in order to have extra tutoring if they need it. And we know that kids who come from families that don't have means are most at risk and are most likely to need things like extra reading hours and extra math programs, and that money ought to be directed at them. So those questions are incredibly important. It won't make any difference to put a lot more money into things that are not focused on the kids themselves.
Lisa, we're really excited today. Is education an important consideration for who you're going to vote for? If you'd like to share who you're going to vote for, you certainly can. But the real question is, how important is education to you?
Lisa, I'm going to follow up one more question about money. In doing research for today's show, I noticed that Arizona was, depending on how you look at it, was near the bottom in education expenditures. And also near the bottom in a lot of measurements in terms of how many kids were reading proficiently, high school dropout rate. So given that, you know, that was a state where you were superintendent, and obviously Senator McCain has spent his career there, how should we project to what you'll do in the United States based on what's happened in Arizona?
Right. Well, first of all, you need to look historically at Arizona, and we have historically sort of been in this position of being in the bottom 25% of expenditures by state. That's just a fact about Arizona, and I worked on a number of initiatives with Senator McCain's support when we brought in preschool, and we brought in a couple of years ago a new half-cent tax to supplement at the school site what was going on, what was available for schools to spend. This is just part of Arizona, politically, that we are a low-spending state by any number of measures. We're also a less expensive state, quite frankly, to live in. So that's one measure, and that's been true in Arizona for quite some time. That has not changed and certainly was true before I got there and has been true after.
We'll go ahead and take a break, and that was a great stopping point, Lisa, and we'll be back with Lisa Keegan, the educational advisor to Senator McCain. I'd like to remind our listeners to call in and tell us, is education an important issue for you in this next national election? Come on back after a short break.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Chelsea School has served as a beacon of hope for students with language-based learning disabilities in the Washington, D.C. metro area for over 32 years. It is a college preparatory school serving students grades 5 through 12. Our program model emphasizes literacy remediation, math, science, and technology. For more information, visit our website at www.chelseaschool.edu or call 301-585-1430, extension 303.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators, do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. This is Rich Weinfeld with my co-host Michelle Davis, and we're very happy to have Lisa Keegan, the educational advisor to Senator John McCain, with us today. And I want to, again, repeat the question that we'd love to have you call in on, which is, who will you be voting for, and is their stance on education important in your decision to vote for them? And we'd like to offer a copy of our book, Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book, What You Can Do Now to Advocate for Your Exceptional Child's Education. We'll offer a copy each to the first two callers, so we hope you'll call in. Lisa, I want to continue our discussion about Senator McCain's policies and the differences between his policies and Senator Obama's by looking at the issue of school choice. And could you describe Senator McCain's position on that?
I will. And, Rich, maybe by way of doing that, we were talking a little bit about Arizona and about the changes in Arizona or what Arizona's record has been. Arizona is a state where we have as many public charter schools, which are new schools and schools of choice, accountable to the public the way any public school is. And right now in Arizona, 6 out of the top 10 public high schools are public charter schools, and 14 out of 15, if you look at math and science, with a little bit less percentage on the failing side, and then most of the schools kind of clumped around the middle there with all district public schools, public charter schools. What's interesting to that about that to us is that in a very short period of time, schools have only been around since 95, these schools are really coming up and they really seem to be taking off. And we believe because they are tailoring to the needs of specific kids. And interestingly, the demographic of kids in public charter schools are just about identical to public school kids at large, especially over time. And they do seem to be improving faster. We also know that when there are choices of schools in the neighborhood, that everybody benefits, both the kids who go to a school of choice and those who remain in the school that just has a competitor next door, so has to sort of sharpen up their act a little bit. So those things are very important. The way that Senator McCain defines public education is simply one in which the money that's available for students follows them to the educational setting that works best for them. You know, nobody knows better than kids with than parents of kids with special needs, that you have to be an advocate for your child and your child's special needs. And this is certainly something my family and I are familiar with. That should be no different than any sector of public education, and particularly now in 2008 when we have incredible capacity to use technology to start new schools. We've got 4,300 public charter schools in the United States, and most of them have only been around for 10 years or so. It's a lot of schools, a lot of kids. We also have 1 million kids going to school virtually. I think most people don't realize that there are 1 million public school kids going to school at home right now. Mm-hmm. These things are coming on very fast, and it's important to allow the public funding that has traditionally been assigned to a school to really be assigned more to the student and to the needs that they have. So that's, you know, that's the senator's view. I think a lot of people see, when you talk about school choice, they see a very narrow view. They see something called a voucher that you take to a private school, and usually they see to a religious school.
I think Michelle had a follow-up question about vouchers.
Yeah. Yes, we actually, one of our shows here at Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education, was about school choice and, you know, all the different ways that parents can get help to choose schools for their kids, charter schools being one, vouchers for private schools being another, tax relief being another. Where is Senator McCain specifically on, let's say, tax relief for parents to for school choice purposes and vouchers?
Well, Arizona was the first state to do that, and he was supportive of that, tax credits in order to create scholarship organizations, and those scholarship organizations then award scholarships into private schools that parents will choose, and that was upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. So we were the first in Arizona to do that. Those are now present in any number of states. He has been supportive of that. He's been very supportive of our public charter school initiative. He has been very supportive of the D.C. School Choice Program, which is actually a scholarship, a direct scholarship. But that scholarship in D.C. is part of a three-sector program where money goes into the district, it goes into public charter schools, and it goes into 1,900 scholarships. So again, it's a piece of a public education system. It's not something, it's not an option away from public education. It broadens the definition
Senator Obama's position that I've read is that vouchers would divert money from struggling public schools. And you know, when we posed that issue to our guest from the Cato Institute about school vouchers, he said, "Well, federal government doesn't need to be in the business of running public schools. They need to provide for public education, which could be done through vouchers and so on." Is that Senator McCain's view, or does he, you know, still see that there is a place for the public schools? And if so, how do we strengthen them?
He considers all of this public school, Rich. This is what I'm saying. It's very important. For example, special ed. When you are a parent with a special education child and you feel like the school cannot meet your child's needs, you advocate for the ability to go to a school that does. That school might be private, but the public school district can make the option, can decide for your child to go to a school that works for you, that is private. That is thoroughly legal. That is a part of our public school system and part of our public school choices. Same should be true for a child who comes from a poor area, who is stuck in a school that cannot teach him to read, cannot teach him to do math, and is quite frankly unsafe. I think most of us would not put our children in many of the schools that we think others should have to consign their kids to, or somehow public education isn't funded. I think that's a kind of hypocrisy.
Lisa, I want to pursue the special ed issues with you in just a minute, but we have a caller, Bill Jones from Washington, D.C., I believe. Bill, are you on?
I sure am. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's topic and today's question.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank you both, Rich and Michelle, for taking my call today, as well as for really your being on the forefront of excellence in education. I just want to commend you both for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In response to your question as to whether or not education is important for the way that I'm voting, you know, I think that this really hasn't been an issue that's been on really highlighted in the media as far as in the campaign yet. And I think that it's very important. However, I think that it's not really taking center stage on my particular, the way that I'm thinking about voting. I think primarily I'm looking at the economy, not energy security. I'm looking at national security issues such as stability in the Middle East, terrorism, and others. And I'm wondering from your guest whether or not there's a plan in place to really put this as to highlight this as part of McCain's upcoming campaign, or whether or not this is something that's going to kind of take a back seat to the overall campaign process.
Great question.
You want to take that? Yeah.
Bill, thanks for the question. No, he will be highlighting it. As a matter of fact, he will be giving a speech at the annual convention of the NAACP next week on Wednesday, and he will be giving his first sort of detailed education speech there at the NAACP. And that will begin sort of a more detailed amount of time spent on education. It has been very interesting. We were, you know, discussing in the campaign, as we do often, that this issue has been not at the forefront of people's minds, although no less important to them. But certainly there are things that are very, very pressing in the nation, and you've brought up a couple of them. And so Senator McCain and his passion for education, you begin to hear more about that beginning next week.
Thanks for the call, Bill. And I would say you know, Senator Obama just addressed the convention of the National Education Association, supporting many of their policies, although taking a stand in favor of merit pay proposals as long as there is local input from the teachers and parents in the area on those proposals. And Lisa, How would you say that Senator McCain and Senator Obama differ on merit pay? Because I think they both support it to some extent.
I think to a very different extent, though, Rich, and this is important. Senator Obama's view, as you've just reflected, it means that school districts and the union representatives for the district have to be the ones that create performance pay plans. And they do not, according to his surrogates, they do not have to include student achievement as the primary barometer by which you create a performance pay plan. You know, if we're not in the business of increasing student achievement, I'm not quite sure what we're in the business of. And what Senator McCain believes is that it's a school principal or school leadership itself, school leadership might be a group of teachers, as it often is in Arizona in public charter schools, but that the school itself would decide what its performance plan would look like. They might decide that they wanted to have a plan that rewarded everybody for student gain all over the school. That might be one way. They might want to say, look, part of the plan is your individual student gain, and that is how much progress students make year to year, not you know, one fixed bar, but because kids come where they are, but how much progress you make plus the progress of the other kids in the school. But the problem that we've got right now are these union contracts that are one size fits all. They control all teachers in a school district that might have 25,000 kids. School principals don't get to make decisions about who to hire and fire. They have to abide by that contract. And it is that kind of unwieldy thing that keeps us from making progress in schools and often keeps us from turning failing schools around. So Senator McCain is adamant that it is the school leadership itself that has to be able to make these decisions and based on student achievement and not on things like, you know, what classes you took in college or, you know, whether it seems that you're well prepared. Your performance as a teacher is really what matters.
I want to make sure, I know we have a caller waiting, and I would ask that they hold just a little bit because I want to follow up on this question. Are you saying that individual schools would spend tax money on however they saw fit in rewarding merit? And the second part of my question is, how does Senator McCain, how do you measure student achievement? Is it based purely on the test, or do you put any credence in the value-added theory of looking at more specifically what the teacher is doing with this group of students?
Well, first of all, value-added is based on assessments, as you know, Rich. So he is he believes, and all of his education team believes in value-added measures. And, in fact, what Bill Sanders in Tennessee brought to the nation over a decade ago now was probably the most important set of measurements in student gain and individual student gain that we've, you know, had available to us. As a matter of fact, the senator would revise the whole current scheme of adequate yearly progress around that kind of gain measurement rather than have a fixed point that a teacher may or may not have a student who's close to that bar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a fair measurement for a teacher or the student, really. So he's a value-added kind of guy. And yes, absolutely. All dollars at the school are tax dollars. I mean, that's what you're spending. You're spending the public's money. And we know for sure, we know in effective school research that you have to be in control of your dollars there at the school. So that's what he wants.
We're going to have to interrupt to go to a break. We know we have one caller on hold. We encourage others to call. We're going to take as many calls as possible during the next break. We'll be right back with Lisa Keegan.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
Chelsea School has served as a beacon of hope for students with language-based learning disabilities in the Washington, D.C. metro area for over 32 years. It is a college preparatory school serving students grades 5 through 12. Our program model emphasizes literacy remediation, math, science, and technology. For more information, visit our website at www.chelseaschool.edu or call 301-585-1430, extension 303.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Teach Your Children Well. This is Michelle Davis, and I'm here with my co-host, Rich Weinfeld. Today's topic is the future of our nation in terms of the next presidential election, and we're here with Lisa Keegan, Senator McCain's education advisor. And we do have a caller who will take, and our call-in question today is education important to you and how you'll be voting in the upcoming election? Jennifer, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Good afternoon, Michelle, Rich, and hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer. Fine.
I definitely feel like education is a huge driving force of my position on who to vote for. I work with special needs children in the district and find that there are a lot of roadblocks with the No Child Left Behind law as well as the IDEA law. Trying to do what you had mentioned about if a child's needs can't be met in the public school, getting them into the right private setting, because the public schools don't have certain programs programs to use for that child. And it is getting harder and harder for either getting the programs implemented in the public school or getting the child moved to a private school for special needs students. One is the public schools are saying they don't have the money to train the teachers on certain programs, such as Wilson or other reading or math programs, and then denying the amount of hours the child realistically needs for those to be able to meet some of these benchmarks that the No Child Left Behind is requiring. So you're kind of in a stuck position with some of these children who are reading 2 and 3 years behind, you know, behind grade level, but yet there are not enough services in the public schools to help them.
Jennifer, thank you for okay. Really good description of the issue. And Lisa, if I could maybe put it in a question.
Thank you. In
a school choice model, a parent may believe that the child needs a full-day special ed setting that is a very expensive setting, as opposed to another setting, private or public, that could be much less expensive but may not really meet the needs of the child. How would that play out in the system that you're advocating?
Well, Rich, it's a great question, and Jennifer's points are just dead on. And first of all, we just need to admit that there are no simple solutions here, especially to very expensive problems. One of the ways that this gets approached around the country is in Florida with McKay scholarships, where the amount of the support that can travel with a child with special needs, and we're also developing this in Arizona, is based on the needs of the child herself. As you know, special education funding is different depending on a diagnosis. So a severe diagnosis has a greater amount of money attached to the diagnosis and therefore theoretically available for the student. Although when that money all gets pooled at a school district, that's not necessarily the way that works. So the suggestion is to take those dollars that were allocated for a specific child and a specific disability and apply them, make them available to the child. So if the parent did want to make a different choice, and that choice, even with another public school or a public charter school or a private school, that the dollars would travel and therefore make that, you know, an attractive option for the accepting school. It's a difficult, you know, it's just a difficult problem when these, you know, these needs are so high. Although I will say on No Child Left Behind, the fact that we know that a child is 2 and 3 years behind is a great advance. Now we just have to do something about that, and that was the most powerful thing about that law, is that it required us to take a close look at where everybody actually is. And now nobody's invisible, and even though it's difficult, we need to struggle through and figure out how to address the problem now that we know.
I think that's a really great point. One advantage of data collection is you get to see where the problems really are and how bad the problems really are. I want to say that our last two callers did not take us up on our offer for the free book, and so we're going to reoffer the next two callers to get a free special needs advocacy resource book, What You Can Do Now to Advocate for Your Exceptional Child's Education, and that's mine and Maya Rich's book that we co-authored. The call-in number is 1-866-472-5792, and the call-in question is, how important is education to you in how you will vote in the upcoming election? Lisa Keegan is our special guest. And Lisa, you know, we've been talking a little bit about merit pay and school choice and how all of that might work in the context of funding. Jennifer brought up the training of teachers, and it's my understanding that there's multiple ways that that can be funded. If I am a teacher and I go to a school where I choose to go because I like the merit pay option and I think it's in line with my philosophy, but then the district is allocating the whole district's resources for funding of teacher training, how does that get rectified if each school is doing something individual, but the district and then state and federal government are funding in big batches?
Right. Senator McCain's view on this issue, Michelle, is that we really need to look very hard, again, because we know it's what works, and that's being able to control resources at the school site. We need to look very hard if we can't even consolidate federal dollars at school sites and have them controlled there. You know, the one thing teachers told us over and over again in every report that came out on the current federal funding of education was that their teacher training was not relevant to their needs. And I'm devastated by that. We spend billions of dollars, as we should, and the senator is a fairly urgent person. He doesn't have a lot of patience for things that don't work when people are telling you, look, this doesn't work for me. So his question to us is, you know, tell me how you fix that. And he said, what I would like is for teachers to be able to make the decision about the kind of training or the kind of professional setting they want to be in. And this is what we know works in a school. We have to motivate, we'll create motivational settings. I mean, people get motivated by themselves, by, you know, having a say, by having an environment that is consonant with their needs and their desires. And that happens at the school site. You know, there are the most magical things going on where teachers create their own schools, they create their own merit programs, and it's very motivating when you own that. But that has to happen at the school site, and those dollars have to be available there. And we've just really so constructed a system where these decisions get made one time at a district office. It's very dehumanizing, actually, if you're a teacher.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Michelle and I both have years in public education before moving on to private advocacy, and we certainly appreciate what you're saying about decisions at the school level. I guess my reaction, though, is that some things can't be done just by an individual school and need to be done on a bigger level, that leads me into one of Senator Obama's features of his educational program is a focus on preschool, and he wants to really make that a priority, putting money into development of reading and math skills preschool, offer universal preschool, not mandate it, but offer it. I wanted to get your reaction to that and also quick segue into an article from EdWeek, which talked about a study that showed in the suburbs of Cleveland, 80% of the kids come into kindergarten with the skills ready. Inner city Cleveland, it's 20%. So how do we address those inequities, and what would Senator McCain do about early childhood education?
Well, it's such a great issue, Rich, and he is very focused on these preparation data that you just talked about, and specifically the data that says the number of words that kids are even exposed to and the differential between wealthy families and non-wealthy families. And so as a speech pathologist, by my first training, that's fascinating to me.
Is that right?
Yeah. I specialized in neurology, but what's interesting to me about that, and you know, as all parents know, you make these very early neural connections with kids, and you do that by, you know, exposing them to language. And so Senator McCain has talked about some very specific efforts to have some benchmarking. You know, people are anxious in the early years about saying, well, we're going to have these assessments. Well, these are not, you know, sort of sit-down pen and paper tests. These are ways that you can, through observation, note the number of words that kids respond to that, you know, this sort of call receptive language. What do they understand? And make sure that their exposure to a number of words is something that's a part of a preschool program, that we know, you know, that by between September and December, there will be exposure to this number of words. And we have not been systematic about our preschool programs. We just have to be honest with ourselves that a lot of what's out there is certainly child care, but it isn't preparation. And so he is very focused on making sure we are on preparation and specifically where it comes to being language-based.
Okay. I guess the other, Michelle, you had a question about international comparisons.
Absolutely. Lisa, I'm really worried about the state of education in America. I mean, you mentioned our million children who are being homeschooled by the use of the Internet and Internet-based applications. I mean, I think that's, you know, really interesting, but I'm just concerned about the world stage. To what extent is this important for Senator McCain, and will he tie our education to a global economy? And in your view, where does the United States fall, and what goals do we have to compete internationally at this point?
He absolutely is very keyed in on our relationship to the industrialized world. As a matter of fact, just last week when he was speaking to LULAC in front of the Latin American group, he was talking about this very issue, that the United States has got to deal with the fact that right now, as we know, by high school, by the end of high school, we are literally last in the industrialized world in the preparation of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And what he is advocating for is a voluntary effort, because as you all know, the setting of academic standards is a highly politicized effort in this country. It just is. Now, standards are getting closer and closer. If you look at them, 50 states are coming a lot closer to each other in what it is we're requiring our kids to know. But there is a voluntary effort going on right now at the Governors Association, something called ACHIEVE that the governors support, and the Council of State Chief State School Officers, who are all the, you know, heads of education in the states. 33 states are already working on a voluntary effort, not only to benchmark their standards to each other, but to an international standard. And that's going to take some doing, and we are going to get some pushback. But the senator thinks that's the right thing.
I am really glad to hear that. Lisa, you'll come back for our last segment. Thank you again for being on, and we hope our listeners will go ahead and call in and tell us, join our conversation and tell us, is education an important issue with how you will vote at the upcoming election? Go ahead and call in and join us for our last segment. Come on back after our break.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators, do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
Chelsea School has served as a beacon of hope for students with language-based learning disabilities in the Washington, D.C. metro area for over 32 years. It is a college preparatory school serving students grades 5 through 12. Our program model emphasizes literacy remediation, math, science, and technology. For more information, visit our website at www.chelseaschool.edu or call 301-585-1430, extension 303.
opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. This is Rich Weinfeld, the host Michelle Davis, and we're talking today with Lisa Keegan, the educational advisor to Senator McCain. Lisa, we wanted to ask you about teacher recruitment. Senator Obama has articulated as part of his educational policy that he would offer what equates, I guess, to merit pay or additional pay to bring more talented teachers in, especially teachers who are teaching in hard to staff areas, whether they be geographic areas or subject areas. Where does Senator McCain stand on that issue?
He absolutely agrees, and he has a proposal to do the same thing. I think what we will see is a lot of the federal money that's targeted at teachers. For Senator McCain, he'll make available in three major ways. The first of all is recruitment. For states to develop programs to recruit teachers who graduate in the top 25% of their class, any content area. You know, the smartest of the smart is what we're going to need to reinvent this public education system we have. And we've got great examples of Teach for America that Wendy Kopp brought the nation, which is just a fabulous program. And she just went out. She's a number three recruiter nationwide. And she goes and gets just brilliant young people to come into the public education field. And they reinvent. They really are something. They're not satisfied with the status quo. They're not satisfied, you know, with sort of being patronized as the system does to them. So they begin to really work on changing it. And those are the people that Senator McCain is a big believer that your answers are in people. So he's going to focus very much on that kind of recruitment. Also into alternate certification processes. So we have a lot of national organizations, the New Teacher Project, the American Board for Teacher Excellence, Teach for America itself, and also universities, colleges of education often set up alternative routes for people who are mid-career changers or they were math majors and now they've decided they want to teach. And these are shorter programs, but they emphasize pedagogy. They emphasize the importance of content knowledge, which, as we know, half of our high school teachers are not specialists in their content area. Now, that's something we have to correct.
Yeah. One of the criticisms that I've read on Teach for America and some of these other programs is that they bring the folks in, but they can't retain them because there's not the ongoing training that they need. And certainly retaining talented teachers is also a very important issue. How does Senator McCain stand on that?
You know, Rich, it's interesting in those TFA studies, Teach for America studies, what happens is the kids, that's right, they may not stay. They go into urban settings. That's the call that they have, to stay for 2 or 3 years in the urban setting. And often what they do is they then end up going and starting a public charter school, or they go and they go back to school and they get some management experience and they come back in. 60%, which is unbelievable, of those who go through that program do stay in the public education arena, and you will find a disproportionate number of public charter school leaders are from Teach for America. Mm-hmm. Michelle Ray, who's now running the D.C.
Right.
system,
right.
No longer in the classroom, but a phenomenal national leader, and what a gift to those kids. So,
I'd like to remind our listeners that, you're just picking up on what Lisa's saying, we do have a podcast where our special guest was Chancellor Ray, and you can hear all of that on the Voice America website.
I want to react to 60%. On one hand, it sounds good, but then you could also say we're losing 40% of them. So, I mean, that to me, that's a concern.
Well, but Rich, remember, we lose 33% of teachers who went to school to become a teacher. You know, Teach for America kids go to school to do something else. They're on their way somewhere else, and they do what's very much like a Peace Corps job. They go into the urban schools. They do get a good gain with their kids. They do. They're actually doing a better job with those kids than traditional teachers in many circumstances. And so there's absolutely no downside to having them there. It is a loss when any of our teachers
think sure.
that they've been
sure.
effective with kids, but it's a huge retention rate for people who were not headed into education to begin with.
We're moving towards the end of our hour, and I want to thank you again for being on. You've been a fabulous guest, and I think you really have illuminated Senator McCain's policies. My own summary, what I'm coming away with, and I want to check this with you and give you a chance to disagree or explain more.
Okay.
I'm coming away with primarily a understanding that Senator McCain would put the emphasis on local schools, local school districts, and if that's accurate, I guess I just worry about the inequities. I worry about the poorer school districts who are not going to be able to fund schools at the same level. I worry about the school districts that don't have the same expertise that may be available in other school districts. So how do you account for that, and was I accurate in summarizing it that way?
I don't really think so, Rich. Where he puts his emphasis is on the students themselves and their ability to access the schools that they need, and also mostly on excellent teachers and those who will create those schools or turn those schools around when they're not operating well. And as far as money goes, he absolutely believes that the federal money that's available for education has got to be targeted to low-income areas and low-income kids in order to stabilize and bring them up to parity. So I think his view of the system is one that's extremely hopeful for all kids, but a system that really revolves around the needs of kids and around the specific talents of teachers, rather than sort of assigning kids into schools that may or may not work for them and assigning teachers into schools that may not be consonant with their hopes and their abilities as well.
Lisa, we're going to give you the last word, and we want to, again, thank you. You know, I think whether folks agree with you or disagree with you, we all will appreciate the fact that you've spent an hour really explaining and illuminating Senator McCain's policies so that people can make an intelligent decision if education is a priority for them, which we certainly hope it is.
And I think that one indication that it is education is a priority for Senator McCain is the fact that you are here on our show with us, so I thank you as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and Senator appreciates the opportunity, so we really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Michelle?
Rich, I am so excited about our show next week. It is about one of the hottest topics in education, in my opinion. It is a show on bullying and school violence. And if you have children or if you're around children, you know that the playground politics, so to speak, can be very, very difficult for children to deal with. We have two international experts, Richard Paul, Nick Dubin, and we're working on a third internationally recognized guest who actually focuses on cyberbullying. This is an issue that touches one's life forever. If you've been bullied or teased on the playground, you know that this can have long-lasting consequences. And in our society, with the increase in violence and the ability for children and our school-age children to have access to different, you know, weapons and that kind of thing is very, very concerning. So we're very excited to present these experts and really explore this issue and how public school systems can intervene, partnering with the parents, partnering with communities, and really stop what I think has been a culture of just ignore it, walk away. I think it's time that we are all understanding that this really needs to be addressed head on, and we're grateful that our guests have agreed to join us. So that'll be next week right here at Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. Rich, did you have some other hot topics that you wanted to share?
I wanted to remind listeners that the podcasts of all past shows are available at voiceamerica.com and encourage them to catch up on some of the previous shows, which we mentioned during this past hour. And I also want to encourage folks to consider becoming part of our Special Needs Advocacy Institute, which is going to be offered for the first time the first weekend of October. And you can find out more at specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com or by emailing us at the address that's there as well.
Our Special Needs Advocacy Institute is for parents. It's for, like Rich and I spend a lot of time in public school systems, and came out and have our private advocacy and consulting practices. So we're very excited to offer that service, and we'll be talking more about that next week.
Okay, we'll see you all next week for the show about bullying.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's edition of Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. Join your hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Teach your children well, their father's health did slowly go by.